the J Talk Podcast.
Yosh, 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 yosh.
Hello and welcome to the J Talk Podcast. Ben Maxwell and Sam Robson with you. And Sam, for the third straight episode, I'll ask you, can you believe what you have just witnessed?
No, absolutely not. I mean, yes, they beat Germany, so there was a chance to beat Spain. But, I mean, even after that first half, I thought it was just absolutely all over. Spain were fantastic. Japan offered very little. But, I mean, this team just surprises you, good and bad as it goes. And that was just absolutely incredible. What a night of football. What a morning of football for you.
Yeah, absolutely remarkable. 4 a.m. kickoff in Japan. And, we're recording 10 minutes after Spain 1, Japan 2 has finished. We thought beating Germany was the biggest day in the Samurai Blues footballing history. But this has more than topped that result, no questions asked. And Sam, I think we have the new dictionary definition of a game of two halves, because as you said, in the first half, Japan were not at the races at all. I think the stat that flashed up a couple of times, 13% possession for Japan, and that felt generous to me. They basically didn't possess the ball at all for more than three or four passes at a time. And again, they were lucky to a degree, but they managed to work their way through the first half and got to halftime at 1-0, and that was obviously what worked for them against Germany. They were hanging on then, and history shows, early on in the second half, they completely flipped the script.
Yeah, they absolutely did. It kind of seemed to be the game plan. They set up with a flat back five with Junya Ito playing as a proper fullback on the right-hand side, and they just sat off Spain. And then if you sit off Spain, they're just going to play through you. And that's what they did to score their first goal. They were fantastic, I thought. And at that time, I was thinking, OK, Spain are probably the best team that I've seen in this competition. They were so good. And Japan just couldn't get out. They couldn't really string passes together to move up the field. So, yeah, it was just dominant from Spain. They got their one goal. And the only positive from that first half was that they didn't go on and get a second. And it was just that second half, the mentality absolutely flipped. They made a couple of changes. You bring Mitoma on, then you have Mitoma and Ito were a bit higher. Everyone moved up the pitch and they were looking to engage Spain. And it was a terrific change in mentality, and what a start to the second half.
Yep, absolutely astonishing. We will come to that, but I mean, there's a few things that we have to talk about. As forgettable as the first half was for Japan, I mean, the five changes again, Sam, and we'd seen him switch to a back to three centre backs at half time of the first two group stage games. He went with that strategy from the start in this game, bringing in Shogo Taniguchi to play on the left of the three centre backs, and Miki Yamane, his clubmate at Kawasaki, dropped out. Elsewhere, Wataru Endo wasn't able to make it to start, and Ao Tanaka came in central midfield. We had Takefusa Kubo return to... Well, he actually played on the right of midfield, didn't he, Sam? That was a little bit of a surprise. And Daisen Maeda started up front. And Sam, you've already mentioned, Junya Ito came in to play, right back in a back five. I guess when the formation was announced, we thought it might be Ito and Nagatomo as wingbacks, but it's certainly in the first half of Japan, when they couldn't get out, it was most definitely a flat back five. And the first really good chance of the game was for Japan in the eighth minute when Ito shot into the side netting after Daisen Maeda won the ball back inside the Spain box. And I guess basically one of the only positives of the first half for Japan was Maeda's, sprinting about and causing headaches, especially for the Spain goalkeeper, Unai Simon. He was, pretty uncomfortable at times by Maeda. But, apart from that, there wasn't really a lot to write home about from the first half for Japan.
No, there wasn't. It was just Maeda's pressing. And, Spain are really comfortable in possession. But if you put enough pressure on any team, they are going to create and make a few mistakes, especially if it's at the back with the goalkeeper and some of the defenders. So that he did manage that. And, Ito maybe could have gone across the goalkeeper instead of shooting into the side netting. So it was a decent chance for Japan. But after that, because Maeda is not really one to hold the ball up. So you can't just launch the ball into him and then move up the pitch. And then Kubo really couldn't carry the ball any length, nor really did Kamado, didn't really get on the ball. So nobody from Japan was able to take it out. I think in the Germany game at the start, when they did have a few attacks, it was mainly Junya Ito running from midfield, but because he was so deep, that he was unable to really be an outlet. So it was a real struggle that first half. They were just sat in deep. They were just, it was just all Spanish pressure. And yeah, nothing to able to release that. So yeah, as long as that was going on, it was just not looking particularly positive for Japan.
No, not at all. And yeah, Ito, he was kind of forced wide by his own poor touch. And I think that was another aspect of the first half that was really disappointing from Japan is that, yeah, when they had the opportunities to get out, often they lost the ball through heavy touches. Or, you know, there was a couple of times when Daichi Kamada was offside down the left when he might have held his run and been away. So it was, heading into halftime, it looked very, very very, very dire for Japan. We had the three centre-backs all booked within the last 6 minutes at the end of the first half. A card-happy ref. And, all three incidents, I think, were harsh yellow cards, especially Yoshida's, where he didn't make any contact at all with Alvaro Morata, who scored the goal for Spain, I should have mentioned, in the 11th minute. A lovely header from a Cesar Azpilicueta cross, but again, with you play three centre backs, Sam, and Morata gets so much space in between Koe Takura and Junior Ito, the right back. It was, I wondered at that point why you even bother if you're not going to mark Spain's main striker better than Itakura did. It was, a bit of a breakdown from Japan, wasn't it? And Morata able to head in from inside the 6 yard box.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a lot of positives to come in the podcast afterwards. But I've got to say, this decision to play predominantly a back five in this tournament, having not touched it in qualifying and not touched it in any of the friendlies leading up, is very odd. And it kind of looked like they didn't really know where everyone was to be. Like, they may have had a couple of training sessions in it and they've played two halves of football there, but it didn't really look like people knew who to pick up, and in the end nobody picked up anyone. It was a little bit recycled. Everyone kind of stepped out but really didn't take responsibility for anything, so that was particularly poor. I think they improved second half, and I think they would just benefit from not being absolutely so deep. I know they were pushed back in the end in the second half, but yeah, just everyone back on that on the 18 yard box, nobody really knew what their responsibilities were, and yeah, they found it really difficult. So it's a really odd one. I'm not going to go on about the Moriyasu's decision-making necessarily too much in this game. But yeah, it does feel like it's a formation that they're kind of learning on the job.
Yes, indeed. So they did manage to get the halftime at 1-0, the same as the Germany match. And, well, it didn't take them long to turn the game on its head. Takefusa Kubo and Yuto Nagatomo were replaced at halftime by Kaoru Mitoma and Ritsu Doan. And it was the latter, Ritsu Doan, who made a sensational introduction into this game with the equaliser just 3 minutes into the second half, though the previously mentioned Spain keeper Unai Simon would dearly love to have that chance to save back, I'm sure, as he seemed to make himself small, didn't he, Sam, with his dive? I don't know whether his studs got caught and he wasn't able to extend himself as much as he would have liked to, but yeah, basically palmed the ball into the net. Doan's shot was had some venom behind it, but it certainly wasn't into the top corner. But to say it was just what Japan needed is a massive understatement, obviously. But yeah, what an introduction to the game by Doan, his second goal of this World Cup.
Yeah, magnificent. Very similar to his introduction against Germany. And he had an off day against Costa Rica. So for him to come on and really take the game by the scruff of the neck, it was exactly what Japan needed. And he was it was poor goalkeeping, I think. But the ability just to shoot from the edge of the area, just to have a go. And it was something that Japan often lack and definitely lacked against Costa Rica. But yeah, great. He took his opportunity and gets Japan back into the game. And they were absolutely roused at that point. And it was absolute one-way traffic at the start of that second half. And it was just exactly what Japan deserved from their start to that half, because they really pushed up. It was positive changes from Moriyasu, I'll give him that, even though obviously Mitoma should start every game. But you put him and he was played quite high. He was still a wing back, but at least he was playing high. Ito was moved forward and the whole team was pushed in. So they went at Spain and they got their rewards. It was, perfect start and, really good from Doan.
Stunning. And then Doan was involved in the second as well. Just 3 minutes later, he crossed from the right. The ball ran across the box and, it was just hooked back into play by Kaoru Mitoma before it crossed the line in its entirety, we're led to believe, before Ao Tanaka his former Frontale teammate bundled it in from, basically a yard out. So there'll be, well, there won't be repercussions from this. This won't live long in infamy, I don't think, in, you know, Spanish footballing lore. Sam, this won't be something that they go back to, time and again to talk about controversial incidents. But, there was, definite debate about whether the entire ball crossed the line or not. VAR certainly took their time in deciding that it didn't. I must admit that I wrote down in my notes that the ball had crossed the line and I wasn't expecting the goal to be given. But, I bowed to the technology and... it was, obviously, to complete the comeback just 3 minutes after equalising was, absolutely stunning from Japan.
Yeah, well, it was stunning, and it might not live in Spanish law for too long, but I think the Germans might have a word about it when they go back and see the goal that has essentially knocked them out of the tournament. So, I thought it had gone over the line. It looked over the line. You could see grass where the ball was, but as explained on ITV over here, the coverage, they suggest that it was just overhanging the line, so it hadn't crossed by that. I mean, but who cares? Mitoma got the end. Fantastic effort to get onto the end of it and hook it back, and Tanaka in at the right place at the right time to score. So, yeah, it probably controversial. It looked to me like it had gone over, but yeah, Japan get the goal and magnificent. And couldn't happen to. I'm sorry, there are German listeners. I shouldn't say anything like that, but. Slightly happy that the Germans have gone out, but do it.
Understand that. All right, so from 1-0 down at half time, 6 minutes into the second half, Japan were 2-1 up, and they didn't sit back until late on in the game, Sam, when it was obvious that they were going to be pushed right back to the edge of their own 18-yard box. But they were still positive. They were still looking to win the ball back. They were still snapping into challenges, and there were still chances for Japan. Asano came on for Daisen Maeda, who put in that one hell of a shift. That was just past the hour. Then with about 20 minutes to go, Tomiyasu came on for Kamada to strengthen the back line. That meant Junya Ito went over to the left of the, nominal front three. He was certainly playing in midfield by that point. But, just after Tomiyasu came on, Sam, there was a stunning piece of play from Mitoma when he broke down the left and we completely burned off Danny Carvajal. And, unfortunately for Japan, they were unable to score a third as Asano couldn't quite connect on the stretch. But that would have been some goal, and it was some example of Mitoma's pace and what he can bring to the team.
Yeah, it's exactly what he can bring. It was magnificent. The run out, the perfect weight of pass. And it was just in that sort of position where Asano wasn't quite sure whether he maybe should go for it first time or if he should take a touch and take it on. And I think he probably did the right thing in trying to go early, but didn't quite catch it. But it was indicative of how Japan played in that second half. Yes, they got pushed back towards the end of it, but they were always looking to go forward in a way that they weren't in the first half, and they were engaging Spain a little bit higher up the pitch. It wasn't taken until they got to the penalty area before anyone put a tackle in. They were definitely trying to kind of break up the moves earlier on, I thought, and I have to give a good mention to it. Tomiyasu might be playing on one leg. He's got various hamstring injuries. He's not really training too much, but I thought he was magnificent at right back. I think he obviously it's where he plays for Arsenal, but against Jordi Alba, against various players over on that side, I thought he was one-on-one defending was magnificent, as it was in general for Japan. I'll give another shout out to Shogo Taniguchi coming in. Hasn't played at all so far in this tournament, but he came in, did not put a foot wrong. He made some crucial blocks, and Japan just was so positive, even in their defending in that second half. And it was really good to see, and you just hope to see a little bit more of it, even especially when you're against weaker teams like Costa Rica. But it was so good in that second half, and they thoroughly deserve to hold on, even though Spain put in a fair bit of pressure at the end of that half.
Yes, indeed. So in the other game, we should mention that there was a point in time when both Spain and Germany were going out as Costa Rica took a shock 2-1 lead over Germany. That's ultimately ended with the Germans running out comfortable 4-2 winners. But that's not enough for them as Japan. Well, they hung on right at the death, Sam. But I mean, there was a point in time after that chance that we've just talked about when Mitoma tried to release Asano. There was about a 13-14 minute period of the game where Of course, this doesn't mean nothing happened at all. But yeah, I didn't write anything at all in my notes. I didn't feel that there was any, sort of the game just happened, and the time passed, seemed to pass quite quickly as Spain weren't able to you know, really knock the door down at all. And Japan did appear fairly comfortable. Obviously, we knew that Spain were capable of, a quick burst, and one goal would have ultimately sunk Japan. But until the literally right at the death in the 89th minute, when Marco Asensio sent in a terrific shot from 25 yards that Gonda got down to save, and Yoshida was Johnny on the spot to hack away from Ferran Torres, who was lurking and ready to pounce on the loose ball. And there was obviously a Dani Olmo chance shortly after that. I think as the ball was recycled, it was luckily for Japan pretty much straight at Gonda. But apart from that, they were able to see things out. And whether Spain got word from, the other game that they were going to be all right if they didn't equalize and they would send Germany out, there was some conjecture before the game that, the other side of the draw that Spain will now be on, having finished second in the group, will ultimately be better for them going forward. But you've just got to hand it to Japan, because we knew that, yes, if they had let in a second goal, then it would have been curtains for them. So, yeah, again, to say it's the biggest day in the history of the Samurai Blue is, just putting it mildly. They've shocked the world. As much criticism as we've handed Hajime Moriyasu over his time in charge, and indeed, in the last week, you just have to hold your hands up and say, well, his team have thoroughly deserved their spot in the last 16.
Yeah, they have. I've got absolutely no complaints about Moriyasu in that second half. The first half, if it ended at half time, then this could be a completely different podcast. But yeah, the second half, the changes in mentality and in terms of personnel, I think were all absolutely spot on. And it was Japan earning that 2-1 victory. It wasn't like Spain were playing as if they were already through. It didn't really matter. They were quite happy to lose. It was none of that. Spain had a lot of possession, a lot of concentrated attacks, and Japan remained concentrated. They were engaging high up the pitch. They were not letting Spain have it easy. They were not allowing Spain just to work it to the edge of the area without any challenge and then breakthrough. And yeah, it was all Japan that made it so that there were only those couple of chances. And that Olmo one, it was glorious football to get into Olmo, but then he was just off balance and a fairly decent defending and pushing him slightly wide. And yeah, it was just generally really well organized and positive defending. So yeah, all the credit has to go to Japan. There is no suggestion at all that there is Spain taking their foot off the gas or anything like that. I think it was just Japan earning a fantastic 2-1 victory.
Yep. So, I don't know. Where do we go from here? Well, we know Japan go on to play Croatia, but, in terms of trying to wrap this game up, I don't know. Is there, you have a man of the match? Did anybody in particular stand out for you? It could be Doan or Mitoma for their impact in the second half. And, wouldn't have any complaints if either of those were your choice. A team full of heroes ultimately. Which player in particular stood out for you?
Oh, it's such a tough question, because first half, not many. I'm not really going to give it too many in that first half. And then the second half, it was pretty much absolutely everybody. And who do I pick out of this? Do I pick out Tanaka? I think I pick out Tanaka. Because maybe he's slightly unheralded, but yeah, the work and effort he put in, because he has to be that box-to-box midfielder, because it's Morita who's the one who's going to sit, and it has to come from Tanaka in there, and I thought he was magnificent. Obviously, he gets his goal, which I'm not giving him for his goal, it just hits him on the line, but it was just his energy, his ability to get Japan up the field, the work he did, it covering in front of that back line, putting his tackles in, I thought he was magnificent. But really, in the second half, I could have given it to absolutely anyone. I've already mentioned Tomiyasu, who was kind of walking wounded, and he was fantastic. And Wataru Endo put himself on the line as well, because he wasn't fit. And the ability for him to come out, even for 4 minutes plus whatever, 7 minutes of added time, he put a shift in as well, and magnificent for the shirt. And yeah, I just have to give full credit to everyone who was on that pitch towards the end, especially the defensive work in the last 20-25 minutes. So yeah, just about Altanaka, but really I could have given it anyone. What about you? Anyone, any hero that you want to call out?
Yeah, over the course of the 90 minutes, Tanaka's a really good shout. But, yeah, I'll plump for the captain. He obviously has taken his lumps, and he's, you know, for some of us, he wouldn't be in our first choice Japan team. But I think he led them tremendously well tonight. Obviously, you know, was very harshly booked at the end of the first half. And I think he had a word to the ref as they walked to the changing rooms. And, you know, he, you know, tried to stamp his authority on the game. He dealt as well as he could when Morata was in his area in the first half. And, you know, I think ultimately he's thrown in a couple of blocks. He was in the right place at the right time, as I said earlier, to hack away that rebound with a minute left. And he's led his team into the last 16. So, yeah, Tanaka's a great shout. Yoshida, for me, yeah, obviously Mitoma's impact off the bench was absolutely tremendous. And Doan has answered a few critics after, yeah, as you said earlier, his poor performance against Costa Rica. There's no point in trying to sugarcoat that. But, yeah, he was terrific. And maybe, yeah, clearly had a point to prove and did that in spades. Absolutely remarkable achievement from Japan. And they've stopped their run of going out in the group stage versus making the round of 16. This is their seventh World Cup appearance, and in the previous six, they had gone out in the group stage and made it through to the round of 16 in alternate appearances after their appearance in Russia, making it through to the round of 16. The pattern, if the pattern had have held, they would have gone out tonight, but they have instead, yeah. As we've said throughout, made themselves into heroes and written themselves into history with a simply stunning achievement. Obviously, when the group was drawn, Sam, we knew it would be tough. We thought if they could somehow nick a win against either Spain or Germany and take care of business against Costa Rica, then they would be in with a shout of making it through. But the fact that they've beaten both of these world footballing superpowers is, well, it beggars belief, doesn't it? It's simply astonishing.
Well, this whole group has been absolutely ridiculous. From Costa Rica losing 7-0 to then being ahead against Germany and beating Japan was just incredible. Japan, who would have thought Japan would lose to Costa Rica and top the group? I don't at the start of the tournament, unbelievable. And yeah, just absolute madness for them. And they go on. And what do you make of the last 16 tie against Croatia? Obviously, beating Germany, beating Spain, you've got to think you can beat anybody, really, although you could lose to anybody if you look at the Costa Rica results. So, yeah, have you seen much of Croatia, and how do you think Japan might set up for that one?
No, I must admit I haven't seen I haven't seen a minute of Croatia, to be completely honest. But I know, obviously, their pedigree and having made it through to the last World Cup final, they will be very difficult opponents. Quite surprising. Again, this group was very topsy-turvy. Again, I was surprised to see Morocco top Croatia's group, but they'll be obviously very, very difficult opponents. You just have to cross your fingers and hope that some of these key players are back to fitness. I mean, you could argue that three of Japan's first choice 11 were unavailable to start tonight in Hiroki Sakai, Takehiro Tomiyasu, and Wataru Endo. So like to hope that at least a couple of them would be ready to start. It is a short turnaround, isn't it, Sam? It's a Monday night, midnight/into Tuesday kickoff, which is obviously confusing for us with the time difference over here. But it's almost the same for both teams, as Croatia have just played earlier this morning, Japan time, having drawn with Belgium. And you've seen them crash out in, as we said, a very topsy-turvy group as well, Group F. So I don't know. I think you're much better placed to inform the audience about how good Croatia have been to this point and what sort of a challenge they might present to Japan in the round of 16.
Well, they're definitely going to be a challenge. You can't have a midfield with Modric, Kovacic and Brozovic and not have a challenge. That's still a fantastic midfield. I don't care if Modric is 37. He is just still absolutely magnificent. But it is a fairly ageing side and they haven't been great so far. They drew with Morocco in a quite tense game in that first one. They looked fantastic after going behind against Canada. And then, but earlier, again, they had a couple of decent chances, but really Belgium looked the better side in that one. So they haven't really clicked into gear necessarily, Croatia, at least not consistently, but they still have some fantastic players. So it's going to be another really difficult game for Japan. But if if I look at this Croatian team, do I think they're as good as Spain or Germany? No, I don't. And Japan have just beaten Spain and Germany. So, yeah, they've got every chance. It'd be interesting to see exactly how they set up, because the two first halves, when they've been a little bit more negative against Spain and Germany, then they just didn't really play too well, and they allowed those teams onto them. If they can play like the second half, especially tonight, then I think they can give Croatia a lot of problems, especially defensively, where a few legs run at Dejan Lovren, give him a bit of a going over, then you've got a chance. So it's hard to really pinpoint what Japan are going to do from 1 minute to the next, but it should be a really exciting game, and they've got every chance.
Yeah, most definitely. It's going to be special. Japan, a chance to make the quarterfinals of the World Cup for the first time. What about Croatia in a forward in an attacking sense, Sam? Do you think there's a need to stick with the three at the back, or do you think he might actually, is Kolwe Takura suspended? I think he might be. Did he get his second yellow card tonight?
Yeah, that's a real blow. Itakura going down. So hopefully Tomiyasu is fit, and then he might just come in to that back three, I assume, with Yoshida and Taniguchi, and then you might play Ito still again as the right back, right wing back, and maybe does his other switch with Nagatomo for half and Mitoma for the other half. You know which way I would go with that. So I think he's probably settled into this back three, especially against a team like Croatia. Up front, they've got a front three of Perisic, Kramaric and Livaja, so it's pretty decent across there. So you maybe need those extra defenders, but it just depends, because their real strength is midfield with those three that I mentioned earlier. And Endo and Morita, if it is that, or if it might make sense. And I know that Kamada is in good form coming into the tournament, but I don't think he's done a lot. And is it worth bringing in Tanaka as a third midfielder in there just to really combat Croatia? That might be what I do. And then you could have, I probably would play Doan off Maida. I think that was probably the way I would go. But yeah, because if they win that midfield battle and they're not challenged Croatia, then that's where they're really strong. So yeah, that's really where Moriasu has to look into this. And maybe the back five that he played today would be a little bit overrun in midfield. So yeah, maybe getting a third midfielder in there might be the way to go.
All right. Well, yeah, we're certainly going to question any decision that Hajime Moriyasu makes. I think we said that after the Germany game, and then obviously stuffed things up against Costa Rica. But and it's interesting. There were names mentioned in the Japanese press today about who might be succeeding Moriyasu. Joachim Löw and Marcelo Bielsa were mentioned in rumours, Sam. But I don't know whether Moriyasu has locked up another 4 years or not with this victory this morning, Japan time, as we say. I guess he could pretty much write his own check, I suppose, after beating Germany and Spain in the group stage. So we might be stuck. We don't know. But we trusted him to make the right decisions again against Croatia. It's a remarkable feat for Japan to make it this far, but they will not be satisfied with that. And have obviously a massive chance to create even more history in the coming days. We can't wait to see how they get on against Croatia. Before that game, though, Sam, both of our nations will be in action in round of 16 affairs. Against my expectations, Australia were able to make it through our, in inverted commas, group of death that turned into, didn't turn into a stroll, but Tunisia and Denmark certainly were not at their best in the last two group stage games, and 1-0 victories were enough for Australia to join France in the round of 16, where we will play Argentina on Sunday morning at 4 a.m. Japan time. So, a stunning goal from Matthew Lecky to win it against Denmark. Move over Everaldo. This is the new Puskas Award winner, I think. Goal of the tournament without question, Sam. And a remarkable turnaround from the Socceroos after being outclassed in the first game by France.
Yeah, I thought they were fantastic against Denmark. Denmark may be a little disappointing in the entire tournament, but I thought Australia were really comfortable against them. And it's, I mean, going into this, you didn't, with the greatest respect to Australia, you didn't expect them to really pull up any trees. It's a, not the greatest squad that Australia have ever taken to a World Cup, but there's definitely a fight. There's definitely a togetherness. And there was a, that bit of quality from Lecky. So, yeah, magnificent for them to get through. A great achievement. And, yeah, what a game you've got coming up against Lionel Messi and Argentina. I mean, yeah, well, that's it's a massive boost in the arm, surely, for Australian football.
The fixture of dreams, and it'll be an absolute tragedy for Lionel Messi to end his World Cup career against the Socceroos. But you know, if it has to be, it has to be. So we'll see how we go. Argentina will certainly know they've been in a game by the end of it. Hopefully, for my sake, Australia have made it through. Obviously, in a similar vein to Hajime Moriyasu, it's a huge triumph for Graham Arnold. Obviously, I'm not in Australia. I don't keep up to date with the media and the coverage of the Socceroos that much. So, I'm not aware of all of the criticism that Arnold has gotten, but he certainly silenced a lot of doubters with his team, as I said, bouncing back from being frankly outclassed in the first game, and to haul his players off the floor and get them up for the next two games and to win them both and make it through to the round of 16 is a phenomenal achievement. And we'll see how we get on against Argentina. And your Three Lions, Sam, will take on Senegal the following morning, Monday morning at 4 a.m. Japan time. So, a massive one for your boys. It was ultimately a comfortable victory against Wales in the final group stage game to prepare you for Senegal. But I wonder if, Gareth, that the ease of that victory and the performances of a couple of key attacking players has made Gareth Southgate his selection decisions quite difficult for the Senegal match.
Yeah, well, they're nice problems to have, I suppose, when you've got Saka, Sterling, Rashford and Foden all playing. Well, I thought Rashford was magnificent against Senegal and probably deserves to keep his place, and I'd probably stick with Foden as well. I thought second half especially, they really took it to Wales, they showed a bit of quality and scored some fantastic goals, much better than the performance against the USA, and I'm really looking forward to the Senegal game. I think Senegal are a team that a lot of people like. I think the supporters are absolutely magnificent. They've got really good players. You're not playing necessarily the Senegal with Mane. I think they've got Idrissa Gueye suspended as well. So it's unfortunate for them. They're not necessarily at full strength, but there's still a lot of quality in that team. So, yeah, it should be a really interesting game. Hopefully England can pull through there. But, yeah, a really exciting one. I think it's the first time we've ever played Senegal in a competitive match. So, yeah, it should be a really exciting game. And, yeah, it's shaping up to be some pretty interesting round of 16 games, and a lot of unexpected ones as well. I think Spain-Morocco that's been formed tonight, that should be another really exciting game. So, yeah, it's just great that all of our teams are a part of it, and I don't think we were necessarily expecting that.
No, not at all. It's been a remarkable World Cup to this point. Absolutely tremendous from all three of our nations, and, Japan, a simply stunning performance tonight to turn things around against Spain and, as we said, make it through to the round of 16. So for the third straight episode, I think we're in a state of bewilderment. Similar to after the Germany game this time, it's for positive reasons. And, all we can do now is look ahead to Croatia. We know that the Samurai Blue are looking to make history and, to make it through to, the best eight of the World Cup for the first time. All right, I think I'm blabbering on, Sam, because I still can't quite believe what's happened. But a remarkable performance. Credit to all of the Samurai Blue players for their performances in this game and indeed across the group stage. And we wish them all the best for the game against Croatia. My wife and kids will be barreling downstairs momentarily, I think, Sam. So it might be just about time to wrap it up. Thanks again for joining us so promptly after the end of the game and for your thoughts on Japan's performance. And we'll do it again straight after Japan play Croatia.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for doing a 6 a.m. podcast. And I mean, you got used to that. And yeah, it's nice to be on the other foot of you watching the games in the early hours rather than me. So I'm enjoying that. And same again for Croatia. What time is it for you for that podcast?
Yeah, it's a midnight kickoff. So if it finishes within the 90 minutes, I'll be joining you around 2 a.m. But I'll be up for it. No worries at all.
Fantastic.
All right, then. So we'll leave it there. Japan have made history and, roll on Croatia. That's it for this episode of the JTOG podcast. Sam and I would like to thank all of our patrons for their ongoing support on Patreon. If you'd like to get involved, please visit patreon.com/JTOGpod. And listeners, we'd like to thank you for listening wherever you are. We'll be back after the Croatia game. Up the Samurai Blue. Bye for now.
The JTOG Podcast.